Okay, Coasties, let's get into it. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're listening, the Central Coast gets up with these guys. Paddy and Rob Palmer for breakfast on 107.7 Triple M.
G'day, this is Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for the 17th of January, and it's very sport-orientated, Robert, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I don't know anyone that loves giving it to the Poms more than the big man himself, Merv Hughes.
And he did after their dismal performance in the fifth test. As well as that, we spoke the Australian Open. How good was Cheney Jones from Channel 9?
Oh, he loves it. He lives and breathes tennis. And did he pass his rapid antigen test on the way into the Australian Open? We'll find out. And also, how about Djokovic? Should he stay or should he go?
That was the question we asked on the forum. A man who's getting tested before he walks into the arena for the Australian Open is Tony Jones from Channel 9. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Tone.
Tony.
G'day, fellas. Actually, I'm doing my rapid test as we speak, and I actually enjoy doing that. We have to do one every day before we can actually start working. I enjoy it because I never passed many tests at school, and so far I'm passing. And the good news here is that almost 15 minutes in, I don't have COVID, but worryingly, I think I'm pregnant.
That's all right.
Well, you know, that will take away. At least we can talk about that instead of Novak Djokovic.
You can see that as a positive result if you like.
No, I think I've got my tests mixed up. But anyway.
Tom, what would happen if you came in positive? Of course, see you later. You're going home.
Absolutely. And, I probably wouldn't be the most popular person going around because it was supposed to have been done at home before I came here. And given the fact that I've just been talking to Casey DeLacqua and Todd Woodbridge and half the commentary team.
You feel dirty, though, don't you? When you get your result, because Rob's at home positive. I had it over the break. As soon as you get told you're positive, you feel dirty somewhat.
Yeah, it's like a stigma attached to it. Because Todd Woodbridge had COVID. He was just telling me then he had that. So he sort of got, I think Sam Groff had it. So they sort of got it all out of the way early in the piece. I've so far managed to avoid it. But anyway, it's a bit like Russian roulette here over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so, very much so. I mean, no one's above the rules, though, are they, Tony? Ask our mate Djokovic.
Well, that's right. So Novak Djokovic, as we speak, he's sitting on a plane heading to destination unknown, and having earned the full wrath of our government system and also our legal system. And, of course, that came through late yesterday that the full bench of the court upheld the decision by the immigration minister. And essentially it wasn't about whether he was vaccinated or not. It was whether the minister was staying within his guidelines and his powers. And they deemed that to be the case. So, look, can I tell you, from a Victorian point of view, on your way, mate. You weren't welcome here in the first place. So, you know, the overwhelming number of Victorians just didn't want him here and were quite angry that he was fighting so hard to be here.
So what happens with the draw now where he was to be playing?
Well, I'm not entirely sure what happens with his opponent, whether he gets gifted through to the second round. I'm just looking at Casey DeLacqua at the moment. Novak's first round opponent, does he get gifted a thing through to the second round? They rejig the draw? Right. So the lucky loser gets put in. So he now plays that opening round match in lieu of Novak Djokovic. So that lucky loser also happens to be a judge on the full bench that Rory gets.
Exactly. Looks good on his report card too. I did Djokovic over in the first round.
But look, it is good to be talking about tennis apart from Novak. And Ash Barty, she's playing today.
Yeah, and she's got a qualifier first up. So it's, but mind you, you know, that's a nice, easy start. But she's got Naomi Osaka in the second round, which is quite incredible. And it's a real quirk in the draw. So if she gets past that, well, you think she'd be going really, really well. But look, it's going to be hard for her, no doubt. But she comes in here with all the expectations on her, as she has done over the past couple of years. But we know what she can do. She's just got to do it here at Melbourne Park, because that's obviously what everyone's hoping for.
And I'll tell you what, I near on cried when Kokkinakis won down in South Australia. What are his chances at the Australian Open? How far do you reckon he'll get?
Well, I've got to say, I was almost reduced to tears when he won that semi-final, because it was like just after 1 a.m. and I was hosting it, and I'm just thinking, get this over and done with, will you?
Thank God I can sleep.
I think momentum is a fantastic thing in whatever you do. And he's certainly got momentum at the moment. Confidence is also, I know you two guys lack confidence, but confidence is a wonderful thing. And he's got both at the moment. Plus, he's also got a massive amount of fans here in Melbourne. So, look, anything's possible for him. But I'm pretty sure I'm saying, I'll ask Todd Woodbridge now, that Nadal plays Kokkinakis in the second round, does he? Yes, Casey De Lacroix and Todd Woodbridge both. Look at that. You guys are thinking to yourself, look, three people in the room and we get the dud one. You could have had...
Can you tell your mates to speak up?
You could have had Casey De Lacroix or Todd Woodbridge. Who you got, mate?
Don't worry. That's what my wife said about me. Three people in the room and I get the dud one. And what's the cock doing with that big bloody trophy he won? Have you seen the size of it? It was nearly as tall as him.
Well, he's actually cutting it up and distributing bits to everyone that was in the stadium that night because there's enough to go around.
It's massive, absolutely massive. Well, play starts today, the Australian Open. It is good to talk tennis. It starts, there's the pre-show, 9 o'clock on Channel 9 from 10 today, first game from 11. Go Ash and also go the cock today at the Australian Open. And Tone, mate, can we speak to you through the course of the Australian Open?
Ah, yeah, sure. I mean, money speaks all languages, so yeah, that's
good. You bet it does.
Yeah, all right, you better get this, mate. Hang on.
Okay, I'll get this. You better get this. Hello, Triple M.
Will I keep going?
Yes.
For Motorbike listeners, good morning. It's the man who believes. When the menu at Macca's, Hungry Jack's and KFC is reduced because of a supply shortage, the army must be set in to rectify this critical situation. Yep. Abby and Rob Palmer in Baffles on Struggle Street. Good morning.
Good morning, Big Al. A lot has happened in the last 4 weeks, hasn't
Robert,
it?
Robert, where do I start? I have moved up the hill and been sleeping in the park at Carryong since Saturday night. Right. That was ever since I heard the tsunami warning.
Yeah, that big 30-centimetre wave won't get you there, Big Al, but you'll have to be careful of the COVID wave, though.
Apparently, that COVID wave has hit Triple M. And I believe, Robert, you have taken a pic of someone else's positive rapid antigen test. And now are working at home. You're an ideas man. Let me tell you, Robert.
I deny that accusation.
Do you know that?
Yeah, Big Al, another contentious subject.
Oh, Patrick, I agree. Four subjects you can't talk about without dividing people now. Politics,
yes.
Religion, uh-huh. Vaccinations, yeah. And now Novak Djokovic. Yeah. Oh, Novak's been in detention more times than when Rob Palmer was going through puberty in year 12 at school. Oh, testosterone does mess up your system, according to the note Rob's mum sent the principal that year.
Right, yeah, well, mum could have written Novak a note trying to help his cause, perhaps.
Look, the government has claimed Novak poses overwhelming risk to community. Come on, he's not Ivan the Lad. The biggest risk he posed was to all the other tennis players at the Australian Open because he was so bloody good. Oh, and unvaccinated.
I tell you, the Oz Open and our country's come under the spotlight and copped a lot of criticism over the handling of Novak debacle, hasn't it, Big Al?
I know, we did. There are certain areas we could improve in that situation, like the Pommy cricket team. There we have hopeless capital H. If there's anything that needs to be detained and then deported from Australia, it's the English cricket team.
Anyway,
goodbye,
Al. It's time for this, which is getting
the issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed. People turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is the forum.
Yeah, when the big issues need to be discussed. And, of course, if you haven't heard, he's Gonski, Novak Djokovic, and this is from ABC.
Away from centre court and tied up in court, it's the last place Novak Djokovic wanted to be on the eve of the Australian Open.
Roll it! Roll it!
The superstar's fate rested solely in the hands of the full bench of the federal court. This evening, it delivered the decision.
The orders of the court are, one, the amended application be dismissed with costs.
I'm extremely disappointed with the court ruling to dismiss my application for judicial review of the minister's decision to cancel my visa, which means I cannot stay in Australia and participate in the Australian Open.
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Our forum this morning, should he have been deported, Mr. Palmer, yes or no?
Mate, he lied on his visa. He ignored COVID isolation rules. See him get COVID and then do an interview the next day?
Yeah.
He just thought he could do whatever he wanted. I had to tell my mates that I couldn't play golf yesterday. I feel fine. I've had a negative test since my positive last Friday. Did I play golf? No, I didn't, because the right thing is to stay at home. So, COVID, it's just fairness over fame.
Yeah, but he waited the 14 days, mate, because he tested positive. Okay, he went out and did a few things. But when the government said he's an overwhelming risk to the community, I went, oh, come on. Anyway.
Hey, tell that to Nelson Asofa Solomona. He's unvaccinated. He may never play again. Melbourne Storm player.
Yeah, 133353. What are your thoughts? Should have Novak been a deported? Paul Berkeley, bud. G'day, mate.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Should have Novak.
Paul, what do you reckon?
Yeah, send him home.
Yeah.
Send him home. If you or I had done the same thing, we would have been on the next plane home. No federal courts, nothing.
Yeah.
Look, yep, exactly. Money. Federal court might... Yeah, money.
Money talks, doesn't it?
Yeah, but see, we're all scared off, Paul, by a $1,000 fine, that, you know, if you do the wrong thing or whatever. But $1,000 to him is nothing.
Exactly. He probably doesn't even know how much it costs.
All right,
that
Paulie.
Is a good point.
We've got Benny from Wyong. G'day, Benny.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Yeah, what are your thoughts, mate? Should have Novak been deported?
Mate, not on what's happened. Maybe they should just let him in the country in the first place. Give him the guy a visa, letting him know that he's allowed in, and then sort of take it off him, mate. It sounds very political to me.
So you think it was more political?
100%. Look, mate, he's got minders. The guy's worth tens of millions. I think hundreds. He's got over $100 million in his bank. He's got guys that run around doing this stuff for him. But don't you think that they're going to be talking backwards and forwards to Tennis Australia, the Victorian government, whoever else they've got to talk to say, is this what we've done? Is this right? Yes, it's right. And it was proven in court. And then the minister has used his powers to make a political stunt.
So you think it was more political?
Oh, look, you got Craig Tilley had a role to play in all this, the boss of Tennis Australia. He's obviously had something to do with
Novak. No, but I agree with Benny. You can't tell me throughout all of this they weren't conversing with those right at the top level of Australian tennis and also with the Australian and Victorian government. I agree, Benny.
100%, mate, 100%. There's more behind the scenes to this. They've let him in the country to make a statement.
All right, there you go, Benny. We've got Benny from Bluehaven now. Benny, what are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, no, I'm glad that they've sent him home. And I'll tell you what really annoys me is all you hear about Serbia is saying, well, why are you doing this to the world number one tennis player? Well, at the end of the day, he's like you and me. He's still human. Yep. You've got to still play by the rules.
He's a human being and he's not done what he's been asked to do. Every other tennis player went and fell on their sword, so to speak, and got their vaccine, didn't they?
No, exactly right. You know, there's lots of people out there losing their jobs here in Australia because they're not vaccinated.
But Benny,
so,
what do you think, though, because he appealed first when the judge said, no, you can stay, shouldn't they have listened to that appeal?
I don't think he should have even had a chance to appeal.
All right. Okay, mate.
I think as soon as I said you're gone, you're gone.
All right.
As soon as I said you're gone. If I lie on my entrance form when I'm coming into a country, I don't expect to be allowed to stay.
We reckon you lied on the weekend when you said you're COVID positive. We got Lee from the Central Coast. G'day, Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Good morning, boys, and no show, Rob.
Oh, he's COVID positive, Lee.
Hey, look,
he's
this going, no-show's making a show.
Yeah, what a load of horse.
Come on, Rob. You've had over a month off already, mate. You want more?
Yeah, mate, I'm working with Novak's brother.
I can only obey the rules. I'm not Novak's brother. I'm obeying the rules, and the rules say do not go to work, Mr. Palmer, for another 6 days.
Now, Lee, what do you think? Should he have been deported, Novak Djokovic?
100%. And can I just put this forward? Yeah. I think his new name should be Novax.
Yeah, Novax Djokovic.
Yeah. I haven't heard that one. Very nice.
Yeah. You like that, Rob?
Yeah, I do, actually. Novax.
He'll use it. Rob Palmer's working from home because all of a sudden he tested positive, allegedly.
Yeah. Well, it's just the luck of the draw, isn't it? Oh, I've managed to survive an entire Christmas break without it. And we went away for a week. I came back and then all of a sudden, I don't even know how it happened.
Yeah.
I'd been to nothing except an IGA and Yas, which is in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I love Yas.
Yeah. Always get up, Yas. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you're COVID positive. Load of anyway, excuse me. So you're working from home for the next week.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
This is working well too, because you know I'm going to be finished and home. Yeah, yeah. There's no traffic.
At 9:05.
You wear what you like.
Con artist. But mate, COVID has not, like when Delta was around, you know, a couple of years ago and a bit last year, we knew one person on the Central Coast who had it, and that was it. One of Cal's mates. But with this, just every man and his dog. Every man and his dog got
everybody.
It.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine has a young but she's in her mid-20s. She went up to Byron Bay with a few of her mates for a bit of a break. unvaccinated and got COVID, it knocked her over for about 3 weeks. And I had a chat to her the other day and she couldn't get through a minute's conversation without another coughing fit. I said, mate, what are you doing unvaccinated? She just doesn't believe in it.
Yeah.
So people have their reasons.
But also, mate, there have been, I was just speaking to Nick Kelly, who works around here, and he got it, as I did, and sort of hardly any symptoms. Some people had no symptoms. Some were really, really crook with it. So it's affecting people in different ways. But the thing is, once you get tested positive, you've got to stay home for 7 days.
It's ridiculous because I've tested positive and I was negative the next day when I took the kids because you've got to get everyone in the household tested. Mm. And because Gwen's away, I was the only one that could get them tested. So we all masked up, got in the car, went up there, all three of us tested, all three negative next day.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah. But
so is it right or is it wrong? Mate, and then you go, I've got to stay home. We've got an ant infestation and a spider problem at the moment because we went away to Yass, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
And we've come back and the house is crawling with these things. I booked last week a pest guy to come and do the whole house pest spray thing. Is that an essential service, essential maintenance? Because I can't live with a house full of huntsman spiders.
Oh, mate, we were out about, you can do what you want. There's no major issues.
I tested positive a week ago. So you're only allowed to do essential maintenance. I'm calling that essential.
Well, mate, of course, because you're arachnophobic, I wouldn't blame you. But I tell you what, listening to people and what happened with their COVID stories because they were positive and how it ruined their holidays, because my darling wife and I were going to go up for our romantic 2 days to the Hunter Valley, and of course that was put on hold. So,
how'd you manage that?
COVID positive. But
who'd you call?
but you're hearing some unbelievable stories, like I was hearing last week where a mate of mine went up before. This was when you couldn't get into Queensland. You had to have the pass and you had to do your rapid tests and all that sort of stuff. And they tested positive before they crossed the border. It cost them nearly $2,000 in accommodation because they stayed up there on the New South Wales side. It was near $2,000. But would love to know on 133353, did COVID ruin any of your plans?
Yeah.
Would love to know.
What went awry?
Yes, by testing positive. Like my mate who was supposed to have a beer with yesterday. I rang him at 12 o'clock and I said, hey, mate, where are you? Yeah, he said, oh, no, tested positive. I reckon he just said that like you. But
I was supposed to play golf yesterday.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, no.
There you go.
Off.
You can't do it. We've got Nathan from Charmy.
G'day, Nathan.
How's your holiday?
Yeah, well,
really good, mate.
Rob's still on holidays. He's at home working, Nathan.
Is this Nathan the concreter?
No, the crane operator, the world's oldest P-plater.
Oh, the world's oldest P-plater.
we met Nathan.
Correct.
Last year when you came along to our drinks at Erin Leagues Club, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And, Rob fed me right up.
now, Nathan.
You told me that you'd got a lift there, Nathan. It was all good.
Now you got your positive result. Did you get positive results come back?
Mate, I've got to tell you the funniest thing, mate. This holidays, I'll tell you what, I had so much stuff lined up to do, go fishing with the boys, the old man turned 60, few things. But you know what? Everyone's caught COVID except for me. I feel like the left one left out. I think I'm going to hang out with no one. So, never with COVID.
So
you've gone out hanging out with as many people as possible, and then everyone's dropping on like flies, and you're the only man still standing.
The last man standing, triple facts.
Triple facts.
But all your plans were ruined because everyone else, all your friends, tested positive.
That's exactly right. Even at the work, blokes are coming to work with COVID. I'm thinking, oh, what the hell's going on here?
Oh, my.
You can't be doing that.
Oh, I don't know, mate. I don't know what goes through these people's heads sometimes. But we've just got to learn to live with it now, don't we?
Yeah, well, mate, we're going to send you to Hope Rocks, Hope Estate, buddy. You're there, mate.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Look out.
Good stuff, mate. You're going to be there this year.
You'll have a ripping time. And hopefully you don't get COVID just the day before that. So.
Hopefully I don't get it at the Red Hot Tour this weekend.
Oh, that's right, the Red Hot Summer
correct.
Tour. Yeah, that's
fire up
at Carry On. Yeah, so mate, well done. And you're going to be Hope Rocks. It features James Rain, Baby Animals, Rose Tattoo, Choir Boys, Models, Boom Crash Opera. And that's Saturday, Feb 5. So you've got this weekend, then Feb 5, you're back again at Hope Estate. Okay, well done, mate.
Thank you very much, guys. And Rob.
Yeah, mate.
I hope you had fun at home with all the spiders and ants, mate.
Oh no, no! I'm calling that an essential maintenance item that has to be rectified straight away.
Good on you, Navy. Thanks, mate.
Have you got yourself a big thong?
A big thong and a can of mortar.
Yeah, but he wears that under his shorts, unfortunately. Thank you, Nathan. Has COVID ruined your plans? Mark, with a positive result coming through. Mark from Gwendolyn, 13353.
Oh, look, mate, you can use COVID for any reason. I got out of a birthday a couple of weeks ago. And just, I didn't want to go to a kid's birthday party.
So you used I'm COVID positive as an excuse.
Yeah, why not?
Good stuff, mate.
Oh, it does all sorts of things.
And that's what
it
Palmer's...
It can be bad and it can be good.
Palmer's doing at the moment. All right, mate, thanks for that, Marky.
See you, Toby, and see you, boys.
That's why my mate said to me yesterday, we were supposed to catch up for a beer, and just at midday I said, do you want me to order a drink? And he said, rang me and said, I'm COVID positive. He's done that deliberately.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Well, what a great Ashes series, and yet another England batting collapse handed Australia a 146 run victory in Hobart. And if you've been listening on the listener app to the Triple M cricket commentary team, Merv was on it. Also, former England great Ian Botham.
Oh,
and yesterday...
Didn't he spit the dummy? Well, it looked like it anyway. Yeah. It looked like it, but there was one man there to jump on his skittles.
We can have a listen to it. We've got it here. Have a listen to the boys from the Triple M cricket commentary team.
Has he let anyone in with him?
No.
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 He's like sitting on his own.
Nervous watcher?
Yeah.
Green again to Crawley. Edge taken by Gary. Green's got three. Have some of that beef. Three for 83. Unbelievable scenes. Yeah. Crawley's got to go.
Ian Botham threw down his headphones, but they were picked up by Merv Hughes. And he joins us this morning.
Too happy to sit in the seat. G'day, Merv.
G'day, Merv.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Oh, mate, great day to be Australian.
it's a great day to be Australian, wasn't it? It was a great win. A win in, 3 days, another three-day test win, but a fantastic series and really unlucky not to win 5-0. If we had held our catches in Sydney, it would have been a whitewash.
Well, that's it. Do you think, and a few people have been saying to me, that when we let this double century go ahead on day four of that, three of that test, that maybe cost us a victory? Did we let that too long?
No. I disagree with that. I know that's been said, but all we had to do was hold our catches and get that run out chance. Bairstow had a chance on a run out there, and that probably saved England. We dropped Stokes, who went on to bat for another hour and a half. So when you look at that, a lot of people are going to say we batted too long. But ultimately, if we had held our catches and played half-decent cricket, we would have won.
Merv, were Australia too good or were the Pommies just hopeless?
Combination of both. What's going to happen is we'll look back on this and the talk will be how insipid England was, and it's not going to give the Australians credit. What the Australians did really well is that we showed our depth. So after that first win when Hazelwood went out and then Cummins himself went out for the second test match, Nessa and Richardson came in and then they pulled up sore after the Adelaide test match. And let's not forget, Richardson took a 5-wicket haul there. Scotty Boland came in, and Scotty Boland didn't miss a beat, did he? He was absolutely fantastic. And Travis Head was dropped out for a week through COVID, a game through COVID. Usman Khawaja came in, made those 200s in Sydney, and he held his spot for the last test there. But ultimately, it was just a really good, even performance. A contribution by everyone in the Australian team, and not too many people contributed for England.
Yeah, with that last test, it looked like a horrible place to bat. They were just getting upended all over the joint. Did Travis Head win us that test on his own, do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, without doubt. He was fantastic. Went in to Australia with 3 for 12 in that first innings. And let's not forget, in the second innings, we were 6 for 60. And again, Australia had a chance where... Carey was bowled on a no ball. So nothing really worked that well for England. Every time they seemed to get themselves back into a game, they just did something that was just so unbelievable that turned it around. And listen, it was a fantastic achievement by Australia. Take nothing away from them. They were absolutely brilliant. You have a look at the wicket takers. It was pretty even with Stark, Boland and Cummins himself. And then you have a look at the contribution from Richardson. The first test match, Hazelwood was almost man of the match. But the man of the series and man of the match for this game, Travis Head, as you rightly pointed out, he was fantastic. He scored runs. He scored runs at pace too. He didn't muck around, and he really gave Australia the momentum.
Merv, I tell you, our new Australian captain, because he missed one test because of COVID, but Pat Cummins must be just so stoked to be captaining this side.
Oh, he just looks so comfortable in the role, doesn't he? He's really stood up, and you know he got it. You reckon he would have been under pressure in that first test match without doubt because of the circumstances of him becoming captain. But he's just eased into the role beautifully. It hasn't seemed to upset his game. And like so many Australian captains before him, he's just gone to another level. He was a fantastic player when he wasn't captain. When he's made captain, one or two things can happen. You can almost take the role too seriously and it puts you off your own game. And it's the first time we've really seen a fast bowler be captain of a Test cricket team. And he's just handled it beautifully. There's some talk that he was going to over bowl himself or under bowl himself, but he's just managed it beautifully. So who the guys he talks to around him, and I dare say it's blokes like Steve Smith, Alex Carey, maybe Davey Warner, they've handled it really well too. But off Pat has not missed a beat.
Well, just Merv, just let you know too, and warn everyone else on the Triple M cricketry commentary team that my wife now is commentating cricket on the sidelines in the lounge chair. So just be very careful. She's doing a good job with sound effects too. So
she could jump into the box. If there had been another Test match, I don't think Nathan would have been there. We heard James Brayshaw's assessment of Beefy Both, and it was pretty well spot on. Every time Beefy came into the room, he sort of, you know, he was talking it up off air, and something would happen, and you just think, oh, what's going on here? And then it was just too much for him last night, just to see how England fell away. And some of the shots that the batsman played, you just looked at it. If your kid had played those shots in the under 12, you would have kicked him in the backside.
And mate, will they keep that Test team going? You reckon?
Oh, hard to change it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to have wholesale changes. And what we've got to understand is that if you have a look at the figures, they're the guys that are doing really well in county cricket. So, combination of the players not playing well, but also the selection of the teams. Now, it started way back in Brisbane. They left both James Anderson and Broad out. So, virtually collected 1,200 test wickets on the sideline in conditions that would have suited. Then they went to Adelaide. They had a couple of changes there. They left out their fastest bowler and spinner in Adelaide. And then they went back to Melbourne. And they had four changes there. And they just seemed to get it wrong from the start. And it just went from bad to worse for them.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, too, Dave and Mick Howes from BJ Howes Metal End said you owe them a beer.
that's very true. That's very true. The boys at BJ Howes Metal End, aren't they fantastic? The two brothers. Oh, I'll tell you what, they're hard to keep up with.
Oh, can
very
drink. Can drink. Movie Hughes. Booney would give him a run for the money.
Holding your liver as we speak.
But from cricket, Triple M's cricket commentary team, Merv Hugh, thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Thanks, Merv.
No worries, guys. Cheers. Have a good day.
See you, buddy. Bye, mate.
So, look, this morning, you know, we've got a new segment, Paddy. What's it called again?
It's called the Super Simple Secret Sound. We've already played it.
I know we've played it, but we're going to play it every day. And I think that you were a little confused this morning when you read it. You thought, how are we going to say that at 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Well, I've got some stuff that's going to help you get through the Super Simple Secret Sounds really well.
Where is it?
It's like a little vocal exercise.
Okay, Maddie, what do you do?
Is Maddie Lucas, you got that?
Oh, no, Maddie.
Maddie,
our new producer, has just raced up the corridor.
You know what he's raced for? Because I said, look, just print something off for me because I want to help Paddy out.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I'll give you the first one.
Yeah.
I want you to repeat after me.
Yeah. He's coming in. Here he comes now. He's coming. Are you going to tennis players? You're smart.
No,
you are.
No,
so.
I am not. Yeah. No,
okay,
I am
Maddie,
not.
Maddie's
I'm just giving you
in.
Some vocal exercises right. to warm you up so that when you say Super Simple Secret Sounds at before six in the morning.
G'day, Maddie.
You'll sound
Where's Maddie? Come
super
come in, Maddie.
Slinky smooth.
Have you, both those microphones are on there live.
Okay, here
oh,
go,
you,
here
oh, here we go. We've got the laptop. Thanks, Maddie.
Got
okay. All right. So right, you've given me some tongue twisters.
Just some vocal warm-ups. For
okay.
Vocal warm-ups.
The first one is a pessimistic pest exists amidst us.
Okay, try again.
Well,
a pessimistic pest exists amidst us.
That's what I said. A pessimistic pest exists amidst us. The NASA's Kokkinakis took the tennis tournament to town.
What's his name?
Thanasis Kokkinakis. I just call him the cock. He took the tennis tournament to town.
Tanasi is his name. Tanasi Kokkinakis.
I call him Thanasis. I call him Thanasis.
You're a Marvel fan, aren't you?
Central Coast Surf Lifesavers saved several kite surfers on Saturday.
Yeah, that's not bad. Well done. That's your best yet.
And now
this one. This is tough. This was given to me by my niece on the weekend.
Yeah.
Just say this five times quickly. Go.
Okay. Wobbly wallaby, wobbly wallaby, wobbly wallaby, wobbly wallaby, wobbly wallaby. How's that?
That's the best ever. Well done. Congratulations, Paddy Gerard. You are ready for the Super Simple Secret Sounds before six.
Which we do at about 10 to 6 here at Triple M.
You know what, Paddy?
I know.
For friends of Triple M and family to bulk up the numbers.
Yeah.
Download the Listener app.
We're talking Listnr.
Yep. And if you favourite breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
You are legends.
Well, yeah, that's very good of you. And you can listen anytime you like.